Well, I'm glad that we could be here this evening. It just so happens the entire Dickerson household got a nap today. You talk about a good Mother's Day gift for Kenzie. Everybody got a nap. And so hopefully you did the same, and I hope it went very well. As I stated this morning, tonight's lesson we're going to talk about everyone wants to go. But not right now. This is based off of, once again, a little synopsis there from this morning. As I was going to Houston this past week, Tuesday evening, and listened to the old good time radio, right? And there's some things that, comes on, and there's one song that, comes on, and I'll flip that channel just as quick as I possibly can. And one of them is... I'm trying to think of the name of it now, but it says in the song to prop me up by the jukebox when I die, and fill my boots up with sand, and things like that. That's the type of mentality. And when I hear that come on, I cringe, and I'm automatically reaching for another dial. I don't want to listen to that. Well, this is one of the songs that came on, and here's it. Kenny Chesney, of course, if you know your country artist, this is one of them here. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go right now. Nobody wants to go now. And as I listen to those words, a lot of times I'll change it, but I start listening to those words a little bit more. And this lesson is designed, once again, the mentality of society, the mentality of the world, where there's a lot of people that say, I want to go to heaven, but... not right now. And so we go through this lesson. We're going to see some of the words there. And, of course, we're going to go to Scripture and base this from there. When I say that everybody wants to go, but not right now, I think of Paul, who was the very opposite of that kind of attitude, wasn't he? I bring that up from Philippians chapter 1 and verses 19 through 26. Because he says to those at Philippi in Philippians 1, verses 19 through 26, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. Verse 23, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to, you see it, depart and be with Christ, which is what? Far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. When you take the time to read, that's the very opposite of what that song is talking about, isn't it? I mean, Paul wanted to go to heaven, and he wanted to go right now. I mean, you see what he's saying there? I'm in a strait betwixt the two. He really had a desire to depart and be with Christ. We sing about heaven. Just that song that we were singing, I'll live in glory. I'd like to stay here longer than man's allotted days. There's work for us to do as long as we are up on this earth. But, is heaven really the diamond desire of my heart? Because I want to see Christ. Because, well, we look at this world... is it full of problems? Absolutely. And we are instruments to help in that. Just like he said, nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Although he was thinking about himself to that extent of, it's far better to depart from here and rest, from my labors and to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and the joys of thy Lord. But yet he's thinking about whom else? I'm thinking about all the other people I need to take care of. I need all the other things that I need to do So he says there back in that verse again, he says, according to my earnest expectation, hope that in nothing I should be ashamed, but with all boldness always, so now also Christ be magnified where? In my body, whether by life or by death. And we know verse 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, some people say that is the weirdest way of putting it. It's the very, you know, it's weird to say to die is gain. But we're talking about true Christianity here. We're talking about true Christianity, true believers. And we always say, you know, heaven is a prepared place for those who are prepared, for a prepared people. Well, we go on to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 as well, verses 13 through 16. You notice what the Hebrew writer says there in verse 13 of Hebrews 11, down through verse 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. Now, where does he say they were strangers and pilgrims at? On the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. We sing about that, don't we? And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is what? A heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. That really puts it in perspective, doesn't it? But it's amazing that 74% of Americans believe in life after death, and there's 59% who believe in hell. Okay, let you think about that statistic there, okay? We sing songs like, "This world is not my home." What does that reflect? Faith. "I'll live in glory." Faith. Those songs. "Beyond the sunset." Faith. What our earnest expectation is. But when you hear songs like, "Everybody wants to go to heaven," that reflects worldliness and unbelief, doesn't it? You'll see some of that as we go along. One of the first words there says, "Preacher told me last Sunday morning, son, you better start living right. Tell me to stop carrying on all night." You know, some advice from the preacher. The fact of the matter is, what does life do? It affects our eternity, doesn't it? Life affects our eternity in such a way that Galatians chapter 6 and verses 7 through 10 tells us, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Notice there in verse 8, "For he who sows the flesh will the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." When I look at Galatians chapter 6, obviously this is Paul talking to us in Galatia. But do you see that character that Paul was, that we read from Philippians? He was no different to those at Philippi as he was to those at Galatia, was he? He had the same mentality, he had the same desire, he had the same love for the gospel, he had the same love for God. And his perspective was still set on things above. That's what Colossians, he told us in Colossae, right? "Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth." And Jesus, that's something Jesus warned too. He said, live right. You know, remember he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? Even John, when he's preparing the way for Jesus, said such things. Because there will come a time, we know, and Paul told those at Rome the same thing. In Romans 2 and verse 5, a few verses there, in verses 5 down through verse 11. And I see this all in this song that we're talking about from the worldly standpoint. Romans 2 and verse 5, he says, "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds." What does he say there? "For whatsoever man soweth, that shall also reap." That's deeds, right? "Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking, I want to go, but not right now. What does that reflect? I'm enjoying myself. You know, the scene that's behind, you know, the backdrop here of the lesson, that's the idea of it, isn't it? This is where I want to be. I want to be enjoying doing my thing and doing how I want to do. Do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation, anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first, also the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. Is there anything wrong going on vacations and enjoying the scenery like that? Absolutely not. Matter of fact, I'd love to be on a beach right there. But you know what? Heaven or the beach? Which one do you choose? Heaven's going to have some worshiping going on. You know, right? It's like going on vacation. I've used this one before, you know. We go on vacation. What is the first thing? You know, I go out of town. What do I need to be worried about? What is my first concern? My concern is, where am I going to worship with the saints? That's my first priority. I want to know, where am I going to worship? That's the first thing I start Googling when I go out of town, like I went to Louisville. I want to know where I'm going to stop and have Wednesday night service. Where am I going to do that at? When we went to a vacation, you know, in Colorado or wherever, you know, people look at that differently and says, whoa, wait a second, you're on vacation. You know, Kenzie had made that statement before to her cousin, said, we don't vacation from God. We don't vacation from God. You know, that's the kind of mentality we should have, right? We don't vacation from God. Our minds should be on eternity, because once again, this life, we have enough of this life that affects us, right? That pulls us. There are certain things we got to learn. We got to stay away from. He says the self-seeking. So with those things in mind, we see how the preacher had gave him some advice on last Sunday morning. You know, you need to start living right. You know, stop carrying on all night. Here's a few more words of that song. Don't you want to hear him call your name when you're standing at the pearly gates? I told the preacher, yes, I do, but I hope they don't call today. I ain't ready. What do you see in that song? What do you see? I see, that's sad, isn't it? Is that not sad? Some of the worst words that you can hear is someone say, I'm not ready. Why? Why is that sad? Because I think about the rich man who says, thy soul is required thee of when? This night. Remember? Now who shall all these things be? Was he self-seeking? Absolutely. He was self-seeking. We realize that we are called into heaven, okay? Matthew 25, and notice just these few verses here, 20 and 21 in verse 34 that I have up here. So he who had received 5 talents, remember the talents, came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. Hey, we got a worker here, right? We got somebody that's doing some good. Just like Paul was talking about earlier. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Skip on down to verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You know, in our minds of daily activity, you know, if it's my time, you know, am I ready for it? Do I go through a day thinking, you know what, if today's the day that I'm going to depart from this earth, my pilgrimage is going to be left behind, am I going to be happy about it? Am I looking forward to that? If I'm not, then I fit in this song. I'm a character of this song. That I have more ties to the world, and I'd love to stay here to be a, you know, that self-seeking that we talked about in Romans chapter 2. Now, if we have the mentality like that of Paul, you know, the mentality of Paul, He wasn't one that says, I hope they don't call me today. I hope he doesn't call me in. Why is that? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. He wasn't talking about, you know, all the things I want to gain in this world. He wasn't worried about that, because what did Jesus say? Labor shows treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Isn't that what he said in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 19 through 21? For where your treasure is, there may your heart be also, in verse 21. So he says, yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ. That was his desire, was to be with Christ. And he says, that's far better. We have to ask ourselves the question, are we ready? Are we ready? Are we working towards that very, the fruit of our labor, right? James 4, verses 13 through 17. Come now, ye who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. This really puts some things in perspective, doesn't it? Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. We don't know, do we? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting, he said, is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Once again, it puts that perspective from Luke chapter 12, the rich man. Was he ready? No. Was his affection somewhere else? No. He was worried about tearing down this and building bigger and better. He said, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry, right? And then the Lord came and he says, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. Who shall all these things be? We see it. We see it. Well, what about some more words of that song? Everybody wants to go to heaven, have a mansion high above the clouds. Everyone wants to go to heaven, but nobody want to go now. It's not the most. It's not grammatically correct in that, or in all that, but that's the way the song goes. So that's not just me. Many people say, "Yeah, I want to go to heaven," but. You know, the appointment, I don't want the appointment time to be right now, you know. Because I have other things that's going on in my life. Romans 8, verses 18 and 19. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with, notice the word glory, which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation, we saw that word expectation earlier, didn't we? Of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For we were saved, down in verse 24, in this hope. But hope that is seen is what? That's not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? Verse 25, Romans 8. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with, notice that word, perseverance. The Bible is full of words like perseverance and endurance and persistence and those things, such as looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's about perspective there, isn't it? It's about working. Because Jesus promised mansions to whom? The faithful, those who were looking and seeking after those mansions. Those who, you know, once again, affections were on things above, not on things below. John 14. Jesus made it very clear. You know, he talked about those, he said, don't let your heart be troubled. Remember? He talked about, you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are what? Many mansions. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. He was talking to his disciples, wasn't he? I go to prepare a place for you. That's what I so would have told you. So it comes down to priorities, obviously. 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. Once again, you look at these words of the physical song that comes across the radio, and you see this. Do not love the world or the things in the world. You know, this love, this desire. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lusts of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. We realize that this world, I mean, look at the turmoil. Look at all the problems, right? I mean, we see these things right here. They're all over the place. And where was it at? It was in the Garden of Eden, wasn't it? It was there. Same thing that Adam and Eve had problems with still affect us today. But what is still abiding? What is still steady? What is still faithful? What is still true? The will of God. That's still the same. It will abide forever. God. No wonder Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." You know, heaven. Heaven later and the world now. That's death. That's a recipe for death right there, for disaster. Heaven later, but the world now. We are told to deny ourselves and we're told to serve Christ. Remember, he says, "Take up your cross and follow me daily." Galatians 2 and verse 20. Verse we've seen a couple times in the last few lessons. "I have been crucified with Christ," Paul said. "It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Is that our life? Is that what we see when we're talking about ourselves? Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I hope that's our desire. Everybody wants to go to heaven, have a mansion high above the clouds. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But nobody wants to go now. How about some more words from that song? Said preacher, maybe you didn't see me. Throw an extra 20 in the plate. There's one for everything I did last night and one to get me through today. Here's a 10 to help you remember. Next time you got the good Lord's ear, say, "I'm coming, but there ain't no hurry. I'm having fun down here. Don't you know that?" Does that make you cringe a little bit? Does it make you uneasy? I'd say really, when, you know, listening to the song, it didn't make me as uneasy as prop me up, you know, next to the jukebox. That one really does. If you hear that one, whew. I mean, I just feel like, you know, God's, that's a bad situation. That's really what that is. But this kind of has the idea of "see me" written all over it, doesn't it? It reminds me of, you know, doing our alms before men. You know, did you see what I did? I'm buying my way, if that be the case. You know, I'm kind of on this plan here, you know, how much money I can put in. You know, do you see how much? See how much I gave, you know, and things of that nature. Talk about motive issues here. You know, Jesus had talked about that earlier in Matthew chapter 6, in the very beginning of Matthew chapter 6, for that matter. And he says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven." This song has so much, there's a lot to preach on in this lesson. I could probably carry this one out for at least another month or so. More than that, probably. "Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory for men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." He calls them hypocrites, seen by men. Talk about indulgences, understandings, pardons that forgive sins. You know, there is no buying some, you know, buying our way into heaven. That's not the idea. Or, "I'm not paying to have my sins forgiven." You know, there's a big misconception about that. The belief that indulgences draw on the storehouse of merit acquired by Jesus' sacrifice and the virtues and the penances of the saints. That is not what we find. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. "But this I say, he who sows sparingly also reaps sparingly, and he who sows bountifully also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Notice how God describes through Paul the way a person should be, the motive. Preachers are not hirelings, you know, like the song says there. That's not what that is. You know, next time you have the good Lord's ear. That's not the way that works. You know, I'm not in no hurry. You know, that's another part of it. There ain't no hurry. Redeeming what? The time, for the days are evil. That's what you find in Ephesians 5 verse 16. I'm having fun down here. You know, there were those in the days of old who, well, they were having fun too. I'll take us back to the book of Amos for just a moment before we close at this point and go on to the next. And Amos, I think that that's another one that is a very interesting read, some reading there. Amos chapter 6 and what is stated there. Woe to you, it says in verse 1 of Amos chapter 6. Woe to you, most important words, who are at the ease in Zion, trust in Mount Samaria, notable persons in the chief nation to whom the house of Israel comes. Skip on down to verse 3. Woe to you who put far off the day of doom, who cause the seat of violence to come near. Go on down to verse 9 and 10. Then it shall come to pass that if 10 men remain in one house, they shall die. And when a relative of the dead with one who will burn the bodies picks up the bodies to take them out of the house, he will say to one inside the house, are there any more with you? Then someone will say, none. And he will say, hold your tongue, for we dare not mention the name of the Lord. That's some very issue. You know, what we see here is a verse that depicts God's judgment, the aftermath of it. When relatives came around to carry out the bodies, he says, you know, there are some that might expect to invoke the name of God for help after answering none. But people who had not believed that God would come in judgment, like you see there in Amos chapter 6, would now be afraid of what further disaster he might bring upon them. There are some warnings that were given, just like we need to have today. Those who insisted back in verse 3 that Israel was too strong for destruction to fall upon the nation anytime soon. It could happen. The urgency that was there. They believed that they were the elite. Does that remind you of anyone else in our world today? We are the elite. We are it. Woe to you who are at ease. We're told to be sober. We talked about that last Sunday evening. Be sober, be vigilant. For the adversary of the devil walk about as a roaring lion seeking may devour. These people were falling asleep. They were at ease. They were kind of just having their fun. Take thine ease, we see. Matthew 24. Notice that one as well. Matthew 24. Here's a scene here, Matthew 24, verses 48 through 51. Who, there in verse 48, but if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two, and appoint him this portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's not a very pretty picture, is it? Of course not. Just like in Amos, it was not a pretty picture. He says, if there be 10, he said, they're all going to die. That's destruction. That was judgment. Do we picture judgment the same way? Or do we have the same mentality the song talks about? I'm having fun. I'm doing my own thing. I'm a self-seeker. That gives us some thoughts there, doesn't it? Everybody wants to go to heaven, get their wings and fly around. Well, there you go. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go now. Someday,
I want to see those streets of gold in my halo, but I wouldn't mind waiting at least 100 years or so.
What does that tell you?
Revelations 21, I believe, answers this very well. Verses 21 through 26. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. Continue on in verse chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on the either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Wings and fly around, that the song says. You know, there's very little said of what we do in heaven, save for the triumphant glory, the honor, the life, the service to God. Because that's what you read in Revelation. It's all about serving God, worshiping him, unity, access, fellowship, life, service, worship is written all over it. You know, it's like we said before, if I don't enjoy this and worshiping and learning more about God, then heaven is not for me. Because worship is what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. But can't we wait 100 years to do it? Notice what Paul says to those at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Remember that from Galatians. See all these coming together. Even though our outward man is perishing. We know this, right? Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. That's the design. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Remind you of verses earlier? Why do we hope in something that we can see? There it is. Wait 100 years. You know, Paul, at the end of his life, we remember, as he's nearing the end in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Man, he had it just right when he says, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the course. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not for me only, but for all those who do what? Love his appearance. This is somebody who loves the appearance of Christ, who wants to have that mind like him, who works at it, and is not willing to wait 100 years to get it. I look forward to retirement. I do. I wonder what that's going to be like. And I can't wait to get to retirement. I wish everyone would have that idea when it comes to heaven. I can't wait to get to it. Eternal weight of glory. Everybody want to go to heaven. It beats the other place, there ain't no doubt. But that's everything. Everybody's got that one, you know, down. Everybody want to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go now. The fact of the matter, heaven and hell are real. Nobody wants hell, yet most live for it. Is that true? That's true. So it beats the other place, no doubt. But how many are living for it? There's the difference. There's the difference. We saw in Romans 2 and verse 5 about that eternal judgment, that judgment that is coming.
in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. That's what's happening. And of course, Matthew chapter 5, in those two verses there, 29 and 30, tells us, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more proper for you for that one of your members perish than for your whole body be cast into hell. Your right hand, if it causes you to sin, what do you say? Cut it off. For it is more proper for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body be cast into hell. I mean, we're not out there plucking our eyes out and cutting off our hands and feet and all that, are we? That's not the idea of what he's saying. The idea is, it's better to get rid of this here, the habits and the problems, than for us to suffer, for us to go to condemnation that he doesn't want us to go. There are all those things that will keep us from heaven if we live for the world and do the things of the world. The last one I have before we end the lesson, I said, I appreciate your patience in going through this, but everybody wanting to go to heaven, hallelujah, let me hear you shout. Everybody want to go to heaven, but nobody want to go now. I think I speak for the crowd. We know, you know, hallelujah, you know, praise Jehovah, that, you know, the praise that the Lord truly deserves. And that's the key, that's a keynote of the Heaven's Triumph song. You know it? Hallelujah. Because you find it in Revelation chapter 19 in verses 1, 3, 4, and 6. You see that word hallelujah. That's the triumph song of heaven, the keynote. And when you see that, I think I speak for the crowd. He said it right. He really did. He pictured something very true of our society and of our world. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go now. And he did. He is speaking for the crowd. How do I know that? Because the Bible teaches here, Matthew chapter 7, in verses 13 and 14 to begin with, he says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? In verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye who practice lawlessness. Yeah, that's speaking for the crowd. Because the majority, where? Jesus said himself, the broad path that leads into destruction. There are few who find the narrow gate. I hope he's not speaking about us in that song. I hope we're not in that crowd. So as we close the lesson, think about this. Do you want to go to heaven right now? Is that our diamond desire? Do I want to go? The question next is, are we ready right now? And it shows by our actions, by what we've learned, by how much we apply every day. How much did I spend time wanting to know more about God? How much time did I spend in praying to God? How much time did the world get in versus how much God got in? Felix? No, he wasn't ready, was he? In more convenient season, I'll call on you. Agrippa? But Paul had it right. I have fought the good fight, finished the race, I've kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but to all, also to those, all those who loved his appearing. He had it right. Even Paul tells at Corinth, he said, today is the day of salvation. Today. Urgency is there. And we have seen those in the scriptures as we went along there. Do we want to go to heaven? Hope all our answers are yes, I do. Are we looking for it right now? Like Abraham, it says, who desired, who looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Are we looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? Is that where our conversation and our citizenship, Paul said, For our citizenship is in heaven, he said to those at Philippi as well. Hopefully that's where our citizenship is. And this right here, once again, we're just pilgrims. We're sojourners. And we want heaven more than anything we want on this earth. Are we subject to the invitation call at this time? I think the song that's listed there is Zion's Call. If we have taken ease, if we have had this mentality here that we have presented in this lesson, let's make heaven the diamond desire of our hearts. Let's be a prepared people for a prepared place. If we need help with that in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected?
Zion's Call.